Hackers certainly have no trouble innovating and creating new ways to disrupt systems, but the security industry is struggling to keep up. That's according to Cisco's 2015 Mid-Year Security Report. It analyzes many of the industry's intersecting challenges and provides updates on some of the most compelling threats. John Stewart is the Senior Vice President and Chief Security and Trust Officer at Cisco Systems. He walked me through the report's findings and the current state of the cybersecurity industry.
The security industry is, you know, you can call it healthy, you can call it complicated, you can call it very much in the public eye, given the news of the day. And though I would argue the types of attacks that we're seeing and the types of news articles that we're reading about have no surprises in them, in the sense that says that information is being taken, systems are being destroyed. What we're watching, unfortunately, and this is what the Mid-Year Security Report talks to, is that the hacking community has gotten extremely innovative, and not only innovative, but they've started changing modes to evade detection again, to actually adapt quicker than the defense systems are able to keep up with, and then transfer net wealth or net profit, if you will, in places that no longer include the traditional ways by which law enforcement might disrupt them. So we've got a multiplicity of things happening, and unfortunately in the first half of this year, the trend lines just suggest that we've got to up our game again.
Something getting down to the ground level that I noticed in the report surprised me a little bit, and you said that there's increasing use of macros involving Microsoft Office. I thought that one had been licked in around 1997.
What is old is new again, perhaps, Tom?
Something like that.
The places that I think we're always going to have to remember is that macros is just an example of really what all techniques will use, which is where are the weak points. No sooner do we actually feel like we've contained a problem that a new way to use it against us is actually discovered. And that gets back to the point I was making a minute ago, which is highly innovative hacking community that's spending an inordinate amount of time just using the techniques and software in common systems that we use day-to-day life, and then finding the ways to have it actually trick us into believing to do something else, which of course is their goal.
And also you mentioned that their evasive techniques are getting better, including the use of sandboxes, also a technique used to protect mobile devices. So it sounds like they're almost turning the techniques that the good guys are using against the good guys.
That's exactly right. And again, you know, part of what I think we as an industry, I've been doing this for 25 plus years, we have to always keep in mind is that whatever technique we're using today, we've got to constantly innovate on top of it. And so we talk, even in the Mid-Year Security Report, quite a bit about things like measuring time to detection of an attack or an exploit to ensure that very quickly, if something that we presume was okay for the moment switches gears and is now being used against us, good against good, if you will, that we end up catching it very quickly. In all candor, most data points to the fact that many breaches are not detected for months. And by all accounts, if you have that long of a breach, more often than not, the damage is well done and over. We're trying to get it down to days. And even then, that's probably too long, to be honest with you, Tom. And eventually, we're going to have to get this down to minutes and eventually get it down to seconds. But the big leaps are to get it out of the months category. And then the second part about this is that, frankly, the industry, we've got, you know, the better part of 1,000 new security vendors have been launched in the last 5 years. Each, you know, new product and vendor and capability ends up having its own controlling system that's not architected together. And that's part of, frankly, what we as a company here at Cisco are trying to change, is switch it to an architectural view with participation and plug-in connections to other vendors so that we've got a highly adaptive but also, frankly, a seamless or at least lower than what is current level of friction for doing integration of this new capability.
Because that sounds even more complicated when you consider something else that you have discovered in the last 6 months, and that is the increasing use of attacks that are designed specifically for different industry verticals.
That's right. And not only that, but and this is you know, one of the ones that we have to sort of take a pause and look at. If it's no longer interested in taking information or just disrupting a service, it's actually into destruction of a service or a capability that you have running. This is where the IT industry, and certainly I think all security industry leaders, have to take a pause, look at this, and realize that if we have a true down outage where the systems are erased and you're talking months of recovery, it's a totally different ballgame.
But that wasn't the case in, say, the Office of Personnel Management. I guess people in there could have erased everything, but they weren't really interested in stopping, just in finding out for espionage purposes.
Well,
as so far as we can tell.
You know, I won't comment any particular hacking incident or you know, how that technique was used or what the goals were. But where I think it's important for all of us to just stare at is that you're looking for multiple types of problems that you have to be able to respond to. Some of it is information being illegitimately copied out of an organization. Some of it is the changing of the information, so you make wrong or bad decisions based on what you thought was correct. The other, of course, is the destruction of systems. And then in some cases, it's just purely disruption. I want to, you know, cause you to have pain or be offline at just the right time. Each and every one of these has a slightly different response, and it gets back to this use of the word cyber. It's actually not one thing. There's crime, there's espionage, there's national and corporate espionage, there's disruption, there's destruction, there's activism, there's terrorism. Those all have to be mapped into what risks you find, whatever organization you're in, what risks you find yourself in, and making sure that you have a response technique, including the tech part, certainly, but also at the management level on down.
We're speaking with John Stewart. He is the Cisco Senior Vice President and Chief Security and Trust Officer, talking about the mid-year security report. And one other detail I wanted to ask you, and before we get into the larger question of the architectural approach, and that is Tor and the deep web and the dark web. That seems to be something increasingly an area for cat and mouse games between the government and law enforcement and criminals, terrorists of all sorts.
Tor is now becoming, along with others, means by which the value of whatever information is taken or the systems that are essentially being exploited is being transferred. It's an interesting observation that we noticed in the MSR this year is that it used to be that you're transferring money between value creation, if you will, or the taking of information and the person selling it, and then, of course, the person buying it or the organization buying it. And when you're doing straight-up money, there's a money flow, there are banks, there are middlemen, all of that. That's where law enforcement oftentimes can make a difference as they're trying to disrupt the operation. You go to something like Bitcoin or use of the dark web to do things where no longer are any middlemen involved, and that creates an even higher bar for the law enforcement teams to have to jump over in order to disrupt these operations. So that's sort of kind of that part one part. The second thing, and I think this is back to the nature of speed, and it's another trend line that we were observing in the MSR, is that when the techniques are moving so quickly, a la, you know, you're actually changing random data being written into memory about 900 million times in order to make sure the sandboxes, the software, the existing security systems can't catch it, or you're actually doing what's called domain shadowing, which is you're jumping inside of a legitimate domain name and then putting a subdomain in it and then shifting the IP addresses. And I grant you, I'm getting a little technical, Tom, but you get sort of my point. This is the innovation that we're having to be up against, and the law enforcement teams included. What do we do about it? Frankly, this is a whole of world social problem. There are not great means by which to have many countries working together in a very aggressive way, and yet every country I know of, doesn't matter where you sit, stand, walk, or sleep, is experiencing some of this. And so each part of society has to be able to sort of adapt to it and react to it. And then, frankly, we need international rules of the road. We need to actually have better techniques by which to disrupt and get after the criminals that are doing it, and then have the consequences and accountability that ultimately map against what the effect is of these particular hacking incidents.
And getting back to the plethora of tools coming out, the new companies, you said there are 1,000 new companies, and you hear federal CIOs and CISOs say this all the time. Tools seem to be a dime a dozen. They're not particularly adept yet at deploying them in many cases. And it seems like what you're saying is that part of the problem is incompatibility and different operating systems for all these tools is making a kind of chaos of its own.
Kind of. Good engineering teams, like we all have in our companies, are trying to essentially create answers to problems. That's what the nature of innovative technology oftentimes is doing. The dilemma has turned into this. You know, first of all, we've got some million person shortage inside of the industry where we're trying to even just hire people that can do the work that needs to be done in cyber. And the education systems and the next generation of students coming out, we're only in the beginnings of these new four-year degrees and advanced degrees. So we don't have enough people to adapt to what we are facing right now. Then you've got the second part of that where you just mentioned, which is you find a problem, fix a problem, find a problem, fix a problem. New companies are created and are constantly innovating new ways. However, architecturally, you have the average of 40 to 60 vendors security inside of most enterprise-sized companies, and something's going to break. It doesn't have an architecture that all makes it intentionally connect all smoothly. And it's because each company is designing for their own problem that they're trying to solve for you as a vendor. So that's a secondary area. And then that third and, of course, the final area, and this is the one that I think is really undermeasured, is if you've got a time to detect scenario where it takes months, no matter how many vendors you have, or you have an efficacy question, which is how good is what I just bought per dollar, both of those, frankly, have to be measured better. And we're all guilty of this. We've got to get better at measuring the true effect and capability of the things that we're running. And that'll, frankly, change the industry. And in many respects, I think this is where platforming inside of Cisco, what we're trying to do, and it's a big leap and it's a hard bit of work, is actually change that to make it easier, because that's frankly what every customer is telling us, and that's frankly what I bet you most of your listeners know right now.
And just a final question, if you look across the industries, the verticals that you do business with, how would you rate the government in terms of the, say, maturity cycle, if you will, or maturity scale in dealing with cyber versus some of the other verticals?
Well, as you might imagine, the government, quote unquote, is not one thing. So it actually comes down to the portions of governments or which have actually been involved in this a little bit longer than others. And yet I'll put us all in a bucket that says that we have got a great deal of work to keep even achieving today, despite being on the leading edge. We've got to change this whole conversation to simplicity of deployment, to consequences, both frankly, the attacking community, you know, having higher consequences, but also, frankly, ourselves, having accountability in ways that has got to be a little bit stronger than I think it is even at the moment. And this is true across all industries. I don't think anyone should feel comfortable, including myself, that we've got this well under control. You've always got to wake up and go, all right, what are we going to have to do better today, and how are we going to get there quicker? And the quicker part, frankly, I think is a little different in industry and government at times. And that's what I'm hoping for, you know, that sort of the leadership of all government organizations is to be able to stare at this and go, okay, this is my personal responsibility. And I want executives of all private industry to do the same thing so that they're not thinking, well, I hired a CISO and calling it good. This is a top level leadership, pervasive throughout an organization, speed game. And I use game sort of tongue in cheek, but you get my point.